Moncrief on News Talk.
I was thinking, we go to the cinema this evening. We could go bowling this weekend. Feed the ducks. I bought some Soleros. Or we could go for a walk in the park. Take a frisbee.
That was a clip from Babies, which is on tonight and tomorrow night at 9pm on BBC One. TV critic James Dempsey joins me now to talk all about it. What's going on here? The monotony of everyday life and more, perhaps?
No. Now, this is tragicomic and okay. It comes from Stefan Golaszewski, who's probably best known. He's a double BAFTA winner. He made Him and Her, which was this like early aughts sitcom with a kind of pre-looking Russell Tovey. And then he also made Mum with Leslie Manville, which was like a big critical hit about 10 years ago, maybe. This point was when it came out anyway. And he's known for his like realism. And this is semi-autobiographical, or certainly inspired by his and his partner's own struggles with fertility. Because this is a drama comedy, but mostly drama, about a couple played by Papa Essiadu, I want to say. Mm-hmm. Best known for his role in I May Destroy You.
Yes. And he's about to be Snape in the new Harry Potter TV series.
Indeed. And then Irish actress Siobhan Cullen, who people will know as the type A sister in The Dry and the very murderous obituary writer in Obituary. And they play Lisa and Stephen, who are struggling with pregnancy and struggling with miscarriages. And I mean, if that sounds like a wholesome Monday night of TV, I would say have your tissues ready for you, because even I, with my hardened, cynical heart to this morning when watching this, was ready to drop. You know, this is a very realistic and thought-provoking, but ultimately very sad piece of TV, which explores a couple in their 30s who really want to start a family and are having absolutely no luck in that process.
Okay. It's hard going. It's a hard sell, but I suppose it's also important in the sense of kind of seeing these stories play out. And I suppose you're getting the male and the female perspective of, and the mother and the father's perspective on loss and what it means to keep going and having to kind of continue with this resilience towards this thing that they ultimately want, but they can't have for various reasons unknown to them, known to them. Is it looking at anything else, or is it kind of like the ripple effect of these continued losses on them and their outer and most inner circle, I suppose?
Yeah, it explores kind of two basic relationships. So the main thrust is Lisa and Stephen, and you know, who we've discussed already. Yeah. And then they are sort of counterbalanced with Stephen's school friend. He's Dave. He's played by Jack Bannon, who people will know from Pennyworth if they are big Batman fans. And Charlotte Riley, who is his partner in it. She's slightly older than him. And as we're watching it, she's this very sophisticated, well-to-do woman, but we get these glimpses of her with her family, and she's looking at her nieces and nephews with great envy. And we're kind of wondering why she is going out with this bit of a loser, right? He's like depicted as kind of like, you know, he has a son from a previous relationship. He doesn't have a good relationship with his son. So you're watching this kind of family dynamic of blended and mixed broken families. You're wondering the whole time, why is this, you know, very attractive, very successful, very wonderful woman with this bit of a dud? And when the reveal of that came, it was like an extra sucker punch to my gut while watching this. Okay. You know, I would say this is not a show to watch in a binge. Like, obviously, that's very difficult to do when it's on the BBC, unless you record it on whatever recording device you have, like Sky Plus, whatever, etc. But we don't obviously have access to the BBC iPlayer. Mm. But this is not something that benefits, in my opinion, from like a binge watch, because it is so it's so poignant that poignancy sort of is just punch after punch after punch after punch as a viewer.
Okay.
However, I don't want it to sound like it's pure misery, right? Okay. Like, what we're also seeing is how robust a couple can be in the face of the difficulties that they are facing on their fertility journey. That these couple, you know, there are ups and downs along the way. There are this couple, you know, Lisa and Stephen, I should say, clearly absolutely love each other. When we meet them right at the very beginning, it's clear, you know, that they've already suffered one miscarriage before the first episode begins, because the whole sort of first couple of minutes are arriving at a family event and being presented with a toddler to hold and kind of going, you know, don't feel great about this, and seeking refuge outside, and then your partner coming and sort of holding your hand through the process and you walking back into the room and just getting on with life, right? Mm-hmm. So I found it a very like refreshingly realistic look at the difficulties a couple might face. And it made me think about, you know, couples, you know, friends of mine who have gone through miscarriages and pregnancies and, you know, things like that. And how blasé everyone else is in the face of what they might not know, right?
As yeah, in, you know, is this devastating loss.
Yes. And how, you know, how you might be completely putting your foot in it with your friend without even being aware of it, because often people don't talk about these things. So like you know, it's without any intent or purpose, you can be really making more of a moment than your friend needs right at that yeah. time. Now, it is also funny. Like, don't get me wrong. Right?
Well, I was going to ask, where not being funny, where is the comedy
yeah,
in this?
Right? You know, right? Like, where?
Yeah.
Like, but it is, right? This so, Golazewski, he sort of began in the footlights, you know, the very famous Cambridge comedic circle that has begotten many, many, many famous British comedians. And his previous work always has this seam of humour running through it. And that is evident here. I mean, when they, you know, when they're having their good moments, this couple are absolutely lovable, how much mm-hmm. they love each other, how well they get on, the banter they have, etc., etc. And when they have their low moments, they come together. Do they argue? Of course. Are the moments difficult? Yes, but life is difficult yeah. at times. And you see a really fleshed out relationship here. Now, he gets a lot of stick for his dramas, sitcoms, whatever, having these like really naturalistic moments. And like, if you don't have patience to watch people filling a washing machine or buttering toast or scrolling through your phone, their phone, this is not the show for you,
okay.
because he loves that kind of thing. But like, this is 6 episodes. It's going to run on this, you know, bi-weekly, if that's the correct adverb of time, I don't quite know. But anyway, Monday, Tuesday this week, Monday, Tuesday next week, Monday, Tuesday the week after. And to me, it is like, you know, unmissable. Like, it is so well made,
really?
So thoughtfully put together. Even the soundtrack, which could be very cloying, he recorded himself because they ran out of budget, right? So Stefan Golazewski, he wrote this little song. He
and
recorded
had you done
himself.
Something like that before? No.
No. So this is,
needs must.
You know, for want of a better term, this is entirely his baby and he has put everything into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It does sound, in terms of the chemistry then, like, is there good chemistry
There's
between?
Brilliant chemistry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like, just brilliantly plotted, like, as in, you know, these moments come as these really subtle sucker punches right to the gut and they just absolutely hit. And like, that makes for absolutely compelling viewing, if tragic.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's Babies tonight yeah. and tomorrow night at 9 p.m. on BBC One. And as James said, it'll be running for the next 3 weeks. I'm very excited to talk about this next one because there seems to be a lot of buzz around it. This is Something Very Bad Is Going to Happen and it's streaming now on Netflix. Let's take a clip.
Now, this ring belonged to my great grandmother, Eleanor.
So pretty.
Yes.
You mean instead of...
It's a little big, but it will work.
People are obsessed with this. On my timeline anyway, there seems to be a lot of buzz around it, that the payoff is there with it. What is it about for anyone that's not familiar?
Okay, what is it about? Well, it is a gothic horror about a woman named Rachel, who, when we meet her right at the beginning, is driving with her boyfriend, Nicky, or fiancé, I should say, Nicky. He's played by Adam DeMarco, the Canadian actor who was the son in the White Lotus season 2, if that makes
one
sense.
One of the sons fraternising.
Yes.
Yes, 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 yes.
And also, she's played by Camila Morrone, who's an Argentinian-American actress, probably best known for a role in Daisy Jones and the Six, if that's what it's called, I think.
Yes.
And they're on their way to his family's quote-unquote cabin, which turns out to be a very lavish-looking Airbnb-style thing, in the middle of nowhere, freezing cold winter, icy snow, etc., to get married. And when we begin it, it's maybe 5 days to I Do. And this kicks off with this gothic horror where they're listening to a podcast about a serial killer in the area and they happen upon a baby that's been left abandoned in a car. And then there's a lot of awkward stuff involving a public restroom in a bar, etc., etc. And all of that happens in episode 1. And this kickstarts this absolutely gothic tale, you know, bloody vengeful story about, I'm going to say, a curse. And that's all I'm going to say because anything else would constitute as a spoiler. Now, this is definitely taking its kind of like elevated horror, like Hereditary, Midsommar vibes, right? As in, we're going to build this whole mystery around what's happening and shoot it incredibly stylishly. There is no denying that Haley's, I'm going to say Z Boston, as she's American. She's best known for writing on a bit of a cult hit on Netflix, Brand New Cherry Flavor, which I think we're 3 years old, a horror of its own right. She also wrote for Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities. So she horror is her thing, okay. I'd say, right? Now, All In, does it need to be 8 episodes long? I don't think so. Because
I feel like that's just the Netflix of it all, isn't
that
it?
That is the Netflix of it all. But often, you know, as a viewer, I found like by the time we got to the middle and we were really stretching out this gothic horror here, I'm sort of like, can we just get to the idea here?
Yeah.
Like I'm ready for the finale. Now, it does pick back up as it comes to its end in this fantastic way. Anything would constitute as a spoiler, so I don't want to give anything away. But where it really excels is actually it's in its cast. So Camilla Morrone, she was Emmy nominated for her role in Daisy Jones and the Six, but I'm not too familiar with her beyond this. She looks incredibly like Dua Lipa. but she is very magnetic. She's very charismatic. And she's not your typical, you know, last girl, final girl of a horror franchise who's a bit meek until, you know.
Until when it counts.
Yeah.
She pulls up her britches.
The whole time she is ready to go and solve whatever issue is going on. She's proactive and active and engaged with the mystery as it unravels. The mystery, you know, when eventually the Netflix scream queen Victoria Pedretti, who'd be known for her work in Haunting of Hill House and Bly
which
Manor,
I love.
And You, where she played, you know, a character in the later seasons of that.
Mm.
She is Netflix scream queen. So when she appeared, I felt like we were back in safe territory. But there is a bit of bloat, undeniably, here. It is well made. It's well shot. It's funny. It's shocking. It's visceral. It's got everything. But it's bloated, and okay. It could do with like 2 episodes fewer.
Is it scary, fundamentally? Were you scared?
I mean, I thought it came out at totally the wrong time of year, right? Like,
okay.
We had just changed to summertime.
Yeah.
Here, and here we have this icy, dark mystery. And I don't know about you, but like, I do get frustrated when I'm watching these shows and I have to basically turn down the lights to be able to see what's actually happening on the screen because everything is so dark.
Yeah.
So that is a personal grievance of mine, but, you know, I feel it nonetheless. Is it scary? Yeah, it has its moments. Is it absolutely jaw-droppingly scary? No, but like, okay. if you like horror, you'll find plenty to enjoy here. If you don't, I would say wait until October.
Okay, and what kind of horror fans would you think would be most interested in this?
Yeah, like definitely you want to be a fan of that kind of elevated horror, right?
Okay.
Like, don't get me wrong, does this go down the route of blood? Yes. If you don't like blood, this is not the show for you.
Okay.
But it is definitely aping the vibe of the Ari Aster. That's his name, right? Ari Aster.
Yes. Yeah.
It's definitely aping that kind of, I am very proud of myself, how chic this horror is. But there's no denying.
Cerebral.
It is very chicly shot.
Okay. Interesting. We've had a text in to say something bad is going to happen. I've tried to get into it, but it's rubbish all over the place with no rhythm or likability factor. So there you go. That's another take, yeah. I suppose. What's Adam DeMarco like? Because I think this is his most, or at least one of his most significant roles since that kind of breakout in White Lotus.
Yeah, well, he has also done, he's done that sitcom on Amazon Prime, which I can't remember the name of now. That's
and ours. I don't know it, so.
Yeah, you know, Benny, you know, that guy. And this is like me judging here. Anyway.
Perfect.
Yeah. He's like, I actually think he's good here, but he's meant to be playing this sort of nice guy, right? And he is sort of made for that nice guy role where he is not threatening, but is he actually threatening in the
okay,
back?
Yeah.
So yeah, he's well cast here.
Overcompensating is the show. It came to me in a dream there. Okay, that's Something Very Bad Is Going to Happen. The entire series is now on Netflix. If you want to stream it, you might be into it, unlike that texture, but who knows. Finally then, very interested to talk about this. This is Jury Duty Presents Company Retreat. New episodes every Friday on Amazon Prime Video. And I think we've got a clip.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
How you doing? Anthony, they sent me over your resume here. We're looking to hire a temp. It would be both for work in office and also at a company retreat. So we have a documentary crew that is following our business.
Okay, so if you're not chronically online, you might actually have no idea what this is about. Yeah. Because the original, this is a sequel series, shall we say. This is the second season.
To a show that never aired in Ireland.
But I was just about to say, I didn't realise, so the first season of Jury Duty never came out here.
No.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it was this absolute cult internet hit in 2023 when it came out. And it is worth admiring the kind of chutzpah of that show. So in that original version, they built an entire mockumentary series in which one person was not an actor and everyone else was. And they had a mock trial, including James Marsden being called to the jury and being on the jury and trying to get off it, etc., etc. And they built it for, I think, 8 episodes. And one of the episodes is just showing how they managed to hoodwink this guy into believing that everything was real. Now, how do you capture that kind of lightning in a bottle a second time? With great difficulty. So instead, they went with a completely different idea here. Obviously, they didn't want to have another jury trial.
Mm-hmm.
And they went with, let's just put as many nouns together as we can in a single title. Company retreat, right? Mm-hmm. So this time around, they have a fake hot sauce company that's called like Rockin' Grandma's Hot Sauce. And this guy named Anthony Norman gets hired as a temp worker to go and, you know, work a couple of days in the office and then go on this company retreat for about a week. And everyone is an actor. And like, when I say an actor, I mean they are an improv comedian. Some of them have done little bits here and there, but
They
are mostly unknown.
Okay.
So it's a great opportunity for them to showcase, obviously, their skills. So like, there's a great impetus for the unknowns to like shine here.
To slay,
right?
Yeah.
Just in order to make, you know, to get another gig. And for our game kind of volunteer, all right, Anthony, he is incredibly game for this. Now, it is worth pointing out that over 10,000 people applied for the job that he got in this, right? And I was like, that cannot possibly be correct. But it is correct because they advertised it as a job that would also be involved in the filming of a documentary.
Okay,
right?
So he's aware there is a documentary being filmed, but there isn't.
Yes, right. So
it's a show, okay.
But it's a bit self-selecting because it means that people who wanted to be on camera were the kind of people who applied for the job.
Okay, so it's not, as you said, that lightning in the bottle thing where I think Ron is Ron the character in the, where he is genuinely like a complete unknown, no aspirations, kind of hasn't really done anything in terms of media or TV since.
So he did end up with a 2-year deal with Amazon, although nothing has happened.
Yeah, look. Ron, we're waiting. I'm rooting for you.
Now, the other thing that's worth pointing out is that of the two creators, Lee Eisenberg and Gene Stupnitsky, the latter directed many and wrote many episodes of The Office. So that kind of like mockumentary inter-business kind of humor is what he cut his teeth on.
Okay.
Right? Now, what I appreciated about it was just how willing they are to go for the bit. Right. So about half the episodes have been released so far. And in it, we see things like him having to film a proposal, trying to get involved in like a kind of sports day event, sitting through these mind numbingly boring seminars being hosted by experts in various business things. Mm-hmm. But he is absolutely game to take part in literally everything. And you're sort of watching it going, would a normal person be quite as willing?
Yeah.
You know, would a random Joe Bloggs off the street be quite as willing to like jump into every single thing? Maybe not.
Mm.
But I just wish it was about 10% funnier than it actually is. Like it is, don't get me wrong, it is entertaining enough and the scale of the production is impressive. And I hope they do this follow-up episode like they did in the first season where you get to see everything behind the scenes and how the producers, you know, plotted everything very deftly and how, you know, it all worked. I kind of hope they do that again because I would like to see how it was done this time. But like all in, is it unmissable? No.
Okay. Are we just over the mockumentary thing? Like, we've seen it so much.
But I mean, there's more to come. I mean, like, every sitcom that, you know, every network sitcom seemingly in America that gets greenlit seems to follow this formula now. I think the reason why is, you know, this, like, idea of, like, the second screen explanation, people are not paying enough attention, so you
We have to repeat the plot in case people aren't listening.
And in the mockumentaries, you have the talking head moments that sort of help to define the plot and keep everyone on track with what everyone is doing.
I didn't think of that, yeah. The US Office has so much to answer for. Yeah, it's just a shame because obviously they couldn't replicate the jury duty of it all, and it meant it left them kind of limited. But
I do think it's a clever approach to it. You know, this idea of a company retreat, you know, which secludes people in a single area where they can't get away from, and they have to all be together, and they all have to do things, much like a jury being sequestered. I'm just kind of intrigued to see what they might do a third time if they get another crack at the whip.
We'll have to see. James Dempsey, TV critic, thank you for joining us. TV on the Radio, that was Jury Duty presents Company Retreat. New episodes of that every Friday on Amazon Prime Video. And we also spoke about Something Very Bad is going to happen on Netflix, and Babies, which is on tonight and tomorrow night at 9 p.m. on BBC One.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.